The Koi Gig Pod.
I'm going to have people with torches and pitchforks outside my door with this next question. But anyways, here we go.
Our version of the Ronaldo effect. You okay, hon?
I'm not good. I won't lie.
Subscribe to The Koi Gig Pod on the Off The Ball app now.
Morning, Jenny Claffey. Good morning.
Good morning, lads. Hello.
Tongue in cheek.
A burn straight away.
How are you?
All good, yeah. Excited, ready to go.
Thanks a million for coming in.
My pleasure.
Give us your credentials. So this is where we need to start off, you know.
Show us
your medals here. Your interest in, I was going to ask tennis, but then let's go to all racket sports. Beyond that, where's your levels of interest? You know, if you're not watching racket sports, let's say,
yeah.
You know, you've obviously dabbled in playing some other sports. So.
Yeah, tried my hand at a few things. You know, I tried to get the Olympics at three different sports, but still haven't made the cut yet. But
three different sports?
Yeah. Well, I tried with tennis.
Yeah.
Then obviously injury ended that. Tried with rugby sevens.
Okay.
Injury also ended that. And now the girls are in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And now with paddle.
Yeah.
But it's not in the Olympics, I don't think, definitely not 2032 anyway, until 2032.
Okay.
By that stage, you know, I'm sure other parts of my body will be hanging off.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. But then on a more amateur level, love soccer. Play soccer amateurly myself. And just a general sports fan.
Okay.
If I'm not watching tennis, I'm watching something anyway.
What position on soccer pitch are you?
A left wing.
Okay.
I'm a natural left footer and I don't have a right foot despite my best efforts.
At all, just pure left foot.
Yeah, I mean, to the point that if I'm running up the wing, the opposition manager will be shouting, she can't kick with a right.
Okay, so, yeah, right. So, thanks, coach.
To all my rivals out there now, you know.
Oh, wow.
Left footers are more skillful though, naturally, aren't they? Everyone wants a good left foot on their team.
Yeah.
I'm right-handed, left-footed.
That's what I was going to ask, right?
Yeah, very much, as I said, left-footed. But then left-handed golf, left-handed snooker, kind of just both sides. I wouldn't even say I'm ambidextrous, but I just...
Left-handed golf, that's even more unusual.
And left-handed snooker is very unusual if you're right with your right hand.
Yeah, I actually think the golf is because of the backhand in tennis, because in backhand you use, you know, the two hands, and in golf it's almost like the same...
Mm.
Well, same, but different.
Backhand, you put your weakest hand at the top.
At the
racket.
Top, okay. Yeah, and then so the same grip.
Yeah,
same grip. So
okay.
I tried right-handed, just the most unusual.
Hard to make the hurling transition.
No, I never gave that a go.
It's the hands are the opposite way around.
The other way around, yeah.
Oh, yeah, different grip.
That's one of the sports I haven't actually tried yet.
Mm.
Yeah,
you don't say that in the way that most people say it, which is like, yeah, well, I'm never going to do that. Ooh,
yeah,
still time.
Try that
exactly,
one before.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm.
That's an interesting wrinkle. Will we do some of the newspapers and kick things off that way? I'm trying to shuffle through them here, as you can tell, to figure out the ones that I have and I don't have. It turns out we have 115 copies of different newspapers this morning. Anyway, so we'll start with the one that's come to hand here. Is that this morning's? Let's say it is.
Read a paper from last year, so.
Right, the Irish Sun for you this morning. Ireland's Got Talent, it says here on the back page. New boss Heimer rates us above his Iceland icons, and he hopes for O'Shea to accept the role as his assistant. So that is the story that's dominated a lot of the back page as well. And Jack opts against shuffling his pack. Both are Matt and Kerry even in the same 15s for this weekend. Would your Gaelic sports, when you're flicking around, would you tend to land on any of the football or hurling? Or
wouldn't be my strong point, no.
Yeah.
It's funny that I grew up down the road from Kilmacud Croaks and tried Gaelic as a kid, but never took to it. And yet, I've never really had a keen interest in it. But I keep an eye on, obviously, the All-Ireland semi-finals and the finals. But I wouldn't be rushing to any games.
You can't play them all. Do you think playing that many sports when you were younger helped you massively ultimately with tennis?
Do you know what? When I was younger, my parents always encouraged me to play team sports because obviously tennis is an individual sport that I tried to keep up playing hockey in school for as long as I could because obviously you needed that element, the social element and the camaraderie. Mm. And as I said to you guys before, in hindsight, maybe if I went back again in another life, I would have gone to team sports straight away. Mm. I just think that I really suited being amongst a team and vibing off other people. Whereas the tennis life is so lonely.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Were you big on doubles in tennis?
Loved it. Loved it. Loved doubles. I loved doubles because not only because you had somebody else on the court, I almost preferred that individual aspect of tennis that it all falls on you. Because in doubles, then you have somebody else to rely on, or if they're having a bad day, you know, it's quite frustrating. But I love the game of doubles. I love how it's played. Like, it's a totally different game to singles. You know, you're playing a very aggressive, well, how I played, very aggressive. Love getting to the net, love volleying, loved making use of my powerful serve, because that was quite a great feature to have in doubles, like obviously a good serve. And yeah, I just love playing the game. I find it almost more enjoyable, but I prefer the more competitive aspect of the singles. So I always play both on tour.
Share the success in doubles, but also share the blame, for want of a better word.
This is it, yeah. But then if you know, say when I was playing on tour, you rock up at a tournament and if you don't know anyone on the list, you'll only go based off their ranking. You ask, let's say I see your ranking and I'm like, all right, he looks good or she looks good, I'll ask her to play with me. And then you go out and play and you've no idea really what, like, whether they're a good singles player or they're a good doubles player, because there's two different...
That's interesting, yeah.
You know, because if you look at the game, like there are singles players who play doubles, but there's not that many doubles players who can transition into singles.
And did you enjoy mixed doubles?
There was no mixed doubles on the tour. At the lower levels, they don't have mixed doubles. It's only in the Grand Slams they have mixed doubles.
How would you, like when you're... I always felt that without following that closely, clearly, that the doubles were like, well, this is sort of the partnership we have and we'll do this at every tournament. But it tends to not be the case that you're looking for somebody every other week, or
yeah, I guess at the top level they'll have a set partnership, because obviously it's so important how you play with how you guys complement each other on the court. Whereas at the lower levels, like it's like, oh, who'll I play with this week? And you're kind of hoping the top ranked player will play with you.
Okay,
yeah,
like because if you go out and you play well and you do go deep into a tournament,
yeah,
like would there not be an instinct afterwards to go, oh, listen, well done, that was great. Like, geez, we got to the quarterfinals. We should totally do this again.
There would be, yeah. But the thing with the tour is, like, there's, like, you know, 10 different tournaments going on around the world in different places. Okay. So you're not always following the same, same schedule.
The Irish Examiner this morning has a picture of Charlene Maudsley, Olympics team named, and Maudsley not going to make up the numbers. Great excitement, obviously, given the athletics team that was named yesterday. Hal Grimson wants to keep O'Shea on board. This is the Irish Independent back page. For you, New Ireland manager hopes that interim boss will join for continuity. Farrell acts as O'Mahony, but insists that he can still prove a point. And a picture of Jess Sue in the back there as well, as Ireland prepare for the roar of lionesses, it says here. Hal Grimson and O'Shea, we were discussing it yesterday on the show, and with Vinny, I was of a very strong view that he would want to bring John O'Shea in.
Yeah.
Like,
I was thinking of Yarrite when he mentioned him in the press conference.
Yeah, and like, it's not smart arsery, but it does seem like a very obvious thing to do. Like, he knows everything that's going on the ground. He knows the players. He's been there and done it. There does seem to be, like, I rang him and we had a chat about it and we'll have coffee and we'll talk football next week. It was definitely fell short of, he said he was well up for that.
That's where I find it a bit strange. You know, obviously John O'Shea is the best person to be your number two. He knows the players. He's been manager for the last four games. But even the fact that they had this press conference and they unveiled it in all the week of a women's game, first of all, it was a strange enough week to do it. And even with the documentary last weekend, but because they could have probably waited another week or two and maybe let him actually secure the backroom team before you go announcing who the manager
is. For a whole pile of reasons, absolutely.
Because now if John O'Shea isn't the number two, well, whoever comes in knows they weren't the first choice.
Well, he's literally said in the quotes this morning, he knows he was my first choice.
If O'Shea turns down the role, which he could, he might get an offer elsewhere. He probably will. John O'Shea will be inclined to take this job, but if something else comes up, maybe more money, maybe something that suits his family better, he could still turn down the job. But there has to be a reason why he hasn't said yes just yet.
Well, I'd say this could possibly just be my mindset, I'll grant you. He has a conversation with Heimer yesterday, and I presume the end of that is, okay, cool, well, I'll have a chat with the FAI, because I'll need to see what they're offering me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, Heimer isn't on the phone going, here's the package. He's going, I need you to come in because you've got all of these good traits. So I presume O'Shea is just saying, he might have said, listen, that all sounds okay. I'll have a chat with them and see what the package is.
I'd have loved to have heard the start of that conversation when John O'Shea picked up the phone. Hi, John, it's Jaime Hallgrimsson here. And John's just like,
who?
Like the rest of us. Who? Sorry. I think it was a strange one when we all heard the news. We were like, genuinely, it's not often when you follow football, especially, that a name comes out of the blue and you're like, because even Lars Lagerbäck, like, he was joint, you would know the name Lars Lagerbäck from that Iceland team, but I wouldn't have known Heimir at all.
It's a proper rarity in, like, modern days where a relatively high profile job like that hires a manager that vast majority of people haven't heard of. Like, so when I saw the tweet, like, from the FAI's official account 4 minutes after it went up, and I just presumed it was like a parody account. I was like, who's this guy? Like, no one knows who this lad is. It reminds me of when Ian Wright was asked about the incoming Arsene Wenger at the start of the 96-97 season. He was like, who? Arsene Hu. Yeah. And like, he had managed Monaco. You know, he was managing in Japan at the time, but of course, like, no social media people probably hadn't heard of him. And that's like the closest thing I can think of in terms of high profile and a manager that you really haven't heard of at all. And obviously Wenger was much more high profile than Hagemson, who was admittedly done a good job. Like, I mean, it wasn't so much ice in 2016 because it was shared with Lars Lagerbäck, who was getting him to the 2018 World Cup. So you could say, like, he has actually a lot of the criteria, ticks a lot of the boxes for the Ireland job, but at the same time, the name didn't inspire too much joy after 231 days. That's where we are. It was, the Finney was asked about it yesterday, where, what are his excitement levels between 1 and 10? And he said 5. And I think that's spot on. Because this could go either way.
What I want to know is, though, is there going to be a John O'Shea press conference, or is he going to get a chance to speak?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to hear what he thinks.
You know, what I'd like to hear from John O'Shea is in about 6 or 7 or 10 years' time about everything that's gone on. Because, you know, if he does get the gig, he's not going to come out at that point and go, listen, this has been a total shambles. It's been an absolute mess. And, like, he has actually really been hung out to dry because he's been there for the last, like, the FAI said they've been speaking to Hagemson since March. He's been out umpteen times in the media for both FAI duties and on the launch around the conference. What was the
pathways?
The league, the final that was held in the Aviva.
Oh, Europa.
And he was out around that, and, like, it's embarrassing for him because he had no information, no idea, and in the background all this was happening. And listen, I don't know exactly how you manage that, but I do have a huge amount of sympathy for him.
And he hasn't been offered the job, for sure, like, you know, and he hasn't turned it down. Do we know that?
He has been offered the job, it seems.
John O'Shea, I'm saying.
The main job.
Yeah.
No,
do we know if he actually was offered it? Or
no, he would definitely have... I mean, we don't know for sure, but he had given all the indications.
He would have taken it.
Mark Hannum said the only contract offer was Hagemson. But, I mean, it doesn't mean that other people weren't offered the job.
I think that's... By the way, I also...
It's common knowledge they went down the line with Gus Poyet. Mm-hmm. You know.
I think that's a misnomer and spoke in to terms Roy of King. The contract
definitely,
offering.
Definitely.
You're not offering the contract to anybody unless they've said that they're... You know, it's a bit of a misnomer. You're not going, hey, can we sit down and have a chat about the job? Listen, I've a contract offer you. You know, at that point, you've spoken for 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
I don't know. We shall see on John O'Shea. And I might ask that manager's point that you were making. I'll go on in a second. That manager's point you were making. I must ask David Connolly later on. Have we ever spoken to him about the "What Do I Owe the Pleasure"?
What's
conversation?
What's that again?
Don Givens comes in as caretaker manager, and there was a lot of different points of turmoil. David Connolly played for Ireland for about 10 years, so there was obviously some managers had come and gone. And then Don Givens was a fairly regular go-to for caretaker management. And he hadn't selected him for one of the squads. And then somebody got injured, and then he rings him up. And David answers the phone, and he says, I must ask him about it. He says, hello? And he says, yeah, Don Givens here, the Ireland caretaker manager. And David says to him, to what do I owe the pleasure? And then he says, I'm inviting you into the squad. And David says, no, you're grand.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I think we should. What do you think?
We've said it now.
I answer the phone a lot with "What do I owe the pleasure?" on the basis of that exact thing.
Ah, great line.
Kathleen, back to me. Good morning to you.
Morning, Adrian.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was going to wear my retro Arsenal jersey this morning, and I'm regretting not doing it now, seeing Shane's jersey choice.
I didn't even realize. I forgot I was wearing a jersey.
Yeah, you didn't even know there was a game on.
Forgot there was a game on this weekend.
How's Norwich?
It's all right. I haven't seen all that much of it. I'm kind of staying a little bit outside the city centre, so I haven't had a chance to properly explore yet, but might get a chance this afternoon to go for a wander.
Carrow Road, you got down there yesterday?
I did get down to Carrow Road. Carrow Road's actually a very nice stadium, very nice facilities. I'd never been in it before. I used to babysit a kid whose dad was from Norwich, so I feel like I knew Carrow Road a lot better than I actually realised until I turned up and I was going around yesterday, like, taking pictures and sending them back to him, forgetting that this kid is now, like, 21, whereas in my head he's still, like, 10, but I thought it was pretty cool.
I'm looking across the back pages here just before you come on. Obviously, there's a lot of Heimer Hagemson stuff on it. There's nothing on the back page in relation to the quotes from, let's say, Eileen Gleeson yesterday. There is some stuff inside, obviously, that's in the Sun. There's nothing. There is Gleeson battening down the hatches on women's national team noise at the top left of the Examiner. Very good picture of Jess Sue on the back of the Irish Independent, but again, nothing very much about, obviously, events, and that sort of continued really through a lot of the newspapers.
Yeah, that's disappointing to hear from back home, to be honest. I talked about it last night on the PM show, but there's very few of us over here at the moment. And I thought, like, this is yesterday was our first opportunity to actually talk to Eileen Gleeson or anyone from the team about how they felt about the report that had happened on Sunday in the Sunday Independent and on RTE. And I really thought there would be a bit more media weight thrown behind it, to be honest. But there's very few of us over here. And it really feels like the MNT announcement has totally taken away from a week that should be talking about that report, that investigation, and also the women going into what is a really, really important European qualifying game. I know we haven't won any of the games in League A so far, but we're in a straight shoot off with Poland when it comes to positioning for a good spot in the playoffs. So like tonight really does matter, and it just feels like the FAI have had an opportunity to show that women matter, and they haven't taken it at all, and it's quite frustrating.
The comment from David Carell yesterday that there were a lot of factors, but we would have wanted to do this another time, but there was a lot of factors that meant we could. Felt a little bit of lacking in responsibility.
It massively did. And like, they're the ones that have the power in this situation. You know, how many factors are there really? We waited 231 days for a manager for the men's team. If they waited a week and announced it the day after the France game, maybe, or, you know, 2 days after the France game, gave the investigation and the report time to breathe, gave this women's team the opportunity to, you know, have their media days. Because, like, there was supposed to be a media day on Monday, and that was cancelled because of the press conference, which was kind of understanding. But as a result, there's been basically no build up to the game tonight. And like I said before, it's really, really important. And again, you would almost kind of half, I mean, maybe he is coming over, but I would almost half expect someone like David Carell to be over here and to be like, we're throwing our weight behind the women this week. It's been a really, really difficult week for them. There's been so much going on, but we're here. We're going to make the most of the football that's actually happening on the pitch. We're going to support the team as much as we can. But it just feels like that hasn't happened. And it's just, of all weeks, it feels like a really, really strange week to announce the manager and also not give them that support.
Yeah, we are going to talk a little bit about the football in a second. But let's also, you were in conversation with Eileen Gleeson, a couple of the players yesterday as well, obviously, about the impact of the Primetime Investigates documentary and the Sunday Independent joint documentary last weekend. And I think we have a couple of clips from that, or one clip.
Yeah, I think we have Aoife Mannion talking about it. So she was the player representative that was put up. I think a lot of people probably would have expected it to be Denise O'Sullivan, who's acting captain since Kenny McCabe isn't available, or Louise Quinn or something. But to be fair to Aoife Mannion, she did really well, and I think she represented the players really well. So we can listen to her now.
Difficult week for the squad. How's it been for you?
Obviously, we've come into camp on a really difficult note with the programme that was out on Sunday, The Girls in Green. A really difficult watch. We all came in at different times, so some people would have been flying on Sunday. I was in the hotel room. Obviously, I watched the programme. Really shocking and harrowing revelations. Our interim chief, David Carell, and head of peoples, Aoife Rafferty, came in the next day to kind of echo the sentiments that everybody was feeling from that, and acknowledge how obviously, you know, difficult of a watch and terrible it is to listen to people's stories and to see and hear what people have went through, you know, legends of the game like Olivia O'Toole, and also to emphasise that we have safeguarding in place now. We have policies, we have procedures to make sure that that safeguarding is everybody's responsibility, to make sure that these things do not happen again. Moving on and moving through the days from that, we've got so little time in camp. And so right now in this moment, we obviously have to put all of our energy into the game, but the programme on Sunday and what legends of the game, you know, people have went through, it's going to be an ongoing reflection, and it's going to be something that we keep speaking about.
Yeah, longer chats with Aoife and with Eileen Gleeson as well, available on our app and up on our YouTube as well. you want to check out more of that, and we'll have more conversations about it over the next while. Kathleen, you touched on something in relation to the football there, and the thing that I think is the real context of the game tonight is that goal difference bit against Poland, who are in Austria this evening. And that is the one that we need to be watching out for, nearly even more so than the actual result of the game.
Yeah, like obviously if we managed to scoop a point or something out of the game tonight, it'd be massive. But the goal difference between ourselves and Poland really matter for that qualifying playoff. So I think the difference at the moment is 10 goals to 7, and we're the better off. So those 3 goals, if we can try and keep it kind of tight against England and also against France next week on Tuesday, it'll really matter for us in the qualifying process. And I mean, it's always been a strange situation going into this group because we knew we were going up against 3 of the best teams in the world, teams that we were very much not in the same league as at all. And it felt, I was talking to Karen Duggan about this on Koi Gig during the week, and it feels a little bit negative to be saying, oh, we just need to go in and not concede all that much. But that very much is the situation that we're in. I think we've always had that look to the qualifying playoff rather than the actual games in front of us. So that's our aim for tomorrow. But, you know, England are going to come tonight and they're going to, they are also in a really precarious position in terms of this group. So it's hard to know how they're going to come in, what they're going to do. Serena Wiegmann was talking yesterday about the team and she was saying the likes, you know, Megan Campbell's long throws are basically the equivalent of a free kick or a corner. So it's clearly that they've been watching what we're doing and they know what they want to mitigate. But I think if the team can come out tonight, maybe get a goal would be a good thing in this group because we haven't seen one quite yet. And also just keep England to relatively low scores, which what we've done so far throughout this group, it'll be a really, really big deal.
So so we know obviously what to expect with England because this is the second leg of those matches. What should we expect to see from Ireland? Obviously, as you mentioned there, we're trying to limit the damage on the goal difference. We haven't scored a goal yet in this campaign either. Do you reckon that they're going to try and, like, what kind of tactics do you think they're going to try and imply this time around?
Well, so this is the interesting thing. So obviously we don't have Kira Caruso. She's injured and she has been our general starting attack option. We also don't have Kayleigh McCabe, who is always a regular attack option. Even though she plays in defence, we always know that she's the person that's probably going to get up forward and attempt to score a goal. I think we will probably see a pretty, I called it conservative during the week and Karen gave off to me. She's like, it's not conservative, it's realistic. I think we'll probably see a pretty defensive setup. But I would love to see someone like Leanne Kiernan given the opportunity to actually have a run at goal. I think like Leanne suits, especially in the Ireland setup anyways, with the players that we have around, I don't think she suits being like the one up top, out and out striker because we've seen it before in that role with the likes of Heather Payne and even Kira Caruso, who has really good hold up game, which is slightly different to the way that Leanne Kiernan plays. You end up just running after the ball constantly. And I don't think that suits Leanne Kiernan. I think if we can get someone playing in a support role to her, it could be an option for a goal. The Megan Campbell long throws as well. I think a lot of people were quite surprised in the last game that we didn't see a bit more of her, but that was potentially down to a fitness issue. So maybe now that she's had a bit more time, she might be in a place where she can play for a little bit longer. I think that's going to be a really big thing for us. And also, again, I know it's probably going back to that conservative thing, but I don't really feel like we've taken advantage of our set pieces in the way that we normally do in the last couple of games. So it's been really hard to see where the goals are going to come from open play for us the last while. And I think maybe we need to take advantage of that a little bit more because it does feel like that's our best opportunity to get a goal, especially against this England setup. I mean, like, they're one of the best teams, if not the best team in the world at the moment. And I think we maybe forget that a little bit when we go into these games.
Are there, it might seem a strange angle to take, I think, but are there positives to take from the fact that Katie McCabe is not involved? Like, it's not a position we're into often, but we might get to see some other players excel, possibly.
It's interesting that you asked that, Shane, because I did ask that same question on Koi Gig this week and say that I'll probably have people with pitchforks and torches at the front of my door by asking it. I think there is. I think if you look at the way Katie has played the last couple of matches, and I I caveat this with like, she is still our best player, or at least one of our best players, but it hasn't been her last couple of games, haven't been her last, her best games in green, let's say. She hasn't played the way that we normally expect her to. She's looked really frustrated on the pitch. She's maybe taken choices where instead of passing the ball at a certain opportunity, she tried to go herself, and it hasn't worked out all that well. So I hope, my dream scenario for tonight is that it is an opportunity for someone like Izzy Atkinson or someone else, maybe not even in that position, to step up in the squad and go into that position. And then whenever Katie does come back on Tuesday, she's a bit revived as well. And she's had the frustration of sitting on the bench tonight, watching everything happening, not being able to play a part of it, and wanting to get back out there and be a bit more, I don't want to say part of the team because that makes it sound like there's something weird going on. It's not that. It's just she's been a little bit off the last couple of games. So that's a dream scenario. But again, going into a game like England, I mean, Karen described it as the Ronaldo effect. You still want your best player on the pitch. So until the game actually happens, it's going to be very hard to tell.
Yeah. Denise O'Sullivan, the leveller, a couple of minutes in on Ciara Walsh is what we need to set the tone here this evening. England have been in a weird spot, Kathleen, but things seem to be coming right. That win in France seems to have nudged the train back on track a little bit. What's your expectation of, we're talking about the goal difference here, but in terms of, I know you're leaning towards the positivity there, but possibly, could we get a draw or could we score? What's your expectation of what will happen?
I think my realistic expectation is that we will lose, but I hope it's only by a goal or two. And we've generally done that for the majority of this campaign, so I don't think it's too unrealistic. Our defensive setup and limiting the damage is probably going to be our main goal for the night. And Eileen did kind of say that a little bit whenever she was announcing her squad and people were asking her about expectations. And she mentioned that goal difference, and she mentioned that maybe now isn't the time to necessarily go out and try some diverse attacking sort of football. I think what we've seen from this team over the last couple of games is that we are actually getting really close to playing the sort of football that we want to play. We're just not quite there yet. So we kind of need to depend on that defensive setup that we give off about quite a lot, but also has got us to a certain point. So it's taking it and giving it a little bit. I wouldn't be totally mad if they set up really defensively tonight and we kept the goal difference quite low. And even if we don't score, it's frustrating, yeah, but at least we're giving ourselves the best opportunity for that playoff.
All right, well, plenty of coverage over the next 12 hours because it's kickoff at 8 o'clock this evening at Carrow Road. Kathleen, thanks a million.
Thanks, guys. Have a good morning.
Cheers. Kathleen McNamee, live there from Norwich. Norwich City,
yeah.
I've ever set foot in. After
no, this. Wonder is there a Wes Houlihan statue outside Carrow Road?
Reportedly difficult to get to Norwich.
Is it? Yeah, where are we find it? East Anglia.
Yeah, it's annoying to get there generally. Richie McCormick made an Alan Partridge reference.
I'm off, Mike.
Colin Mustard, you're back on now.
Made an Alan Partridge reference last night in the news round to do with Norwich. And I laughed heartily from afar.
North Norfolk FM, is that the station?
The pedestrianisation of Norwich.
Listen, yeah. I'm with you.
Well said, Ipswich Town is a big rivalry, isn't it?
Yeah, Norwich and Ipswich. Smith versus Ed Sheeran.
Oh, love it.
The Irish Daily Mail, it's ground zero. Gleeson opens up on Dark Week for women's football. New Ireland boss in high spirits. Bring on England. The fight and talk from Heimer Hallgrimsson. Ahead of his just after his appointment there. Farrell makes massive call with Doris as captain, and Donegal 24 measure up to 2012 team that McGuinness guided to glory. The Irish Daily Mail inside Shane, which is a piece you'll have time for later on. Nice cup of tea.
Deep
in the afternoon.
Okay.
What they've done is they've picked their 15 of combined teams from 12 and 24.
Donegal teams.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And how many you make cut respectively? I'm asking you to count live on air.
Now live on air. 24. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 24.
Wow.
So 8, 12.
That's more than I thought. 24.
No room for Amy McGee was the...
Oisín Gallen's obviously in, Patamogue and Ryan McHugh.
Yeah.
Who else in the current iteration would you put in there?
Ryan McHugh is in there, yeah. From 2024, I really should have done a bit of work on this. Kieran Thompson is in there. Sean Patton is in there. McCall, McHugh, Pádraig Mulligan, and that's it.
Yeah. Decent mix.
Rushing Gannon.
It's mad that he's had two iterations. I'm looking forward to these games this weekend. Now it's going to be, I think that game on Sunday, Donegal Galway particularly, is going to be the, well, yeah, presumably the tight one. Armagh Kerry could go either way if Armagh.
Who do you want in the final?
I'd love an Armagh Galway final.
Would you?
Yeah. Well, Dad's from Galway, so I'm
you're like, he's
Galway.
Charlie Hyde. Remember Charlie Hyde used to have these, like, every single county in Ireland he'd be in, like, he'd be in Roscommon going, oh, sure, you know, my dog was from Boyle.
But if you have a parent from, I grew up supporting Galway. Michael Donnellan was my hero growing up.
Mm.
So I was at the final a couple of years ago and Galway lost to Kerry.
Ah, your Galway connections are on the record. It's just they're every strong other county that you're.
I was born in Armagh. How's that for an Armagh connection?
Yeah.
I was in Armagh yesterday.
Yeah, but you were born there and then, like, 2 days later you went home.
Exactly.
Mm.
Daisy Hill Hospital. And then
it's on your passport, I presume, is it?
It's on the passport, yeah.
But it's not, so you don't have a UK passport?
I don't have UK. I could apply for a UK passport.
Because you were born, you were.
Naturally enough, I haven't.
You know?
Because I was born there, yeah, absolutely.
Where, in the UK?
Well, in Armagh.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were saying you were born in the UK.
Born in Ireland. Was, no, not at all.
Born into a serious.
Born on the island of Ireland.
I mean, the fact that you're wearing a Spain jersey this morning, if anybody's slightly concerned about your allegiances.
On the 12th of July.
They're on the record. We'd maybe leave it at the Irish Daily Star for this morning. Haim Baum, New Ireland gaffer, is up against it already. Ref slags off England. Rafael van der Vaart labelled England as Raf slams off. Shouldn't have gone with this.
Not the ref.
Rafael van der Vaart, just all the chat about referees this week and how controversial they were and what relationships they had. And anyway, Rafael van der Vaart, whatever. 2 minutes past eight. Will we turn to something else? Turn to a bit of rugby. Before all of that, just a reminder, Off the Ball Breakfast with Optimum Nutrition, proud sponsors of the Gaelic Players Association. Alan.